Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's 8:50 on Morning Edition and time for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Monday morning, everyone. The Midwest direct hog markets today are called steady to weaker on pressure from thin to negative processing margins and reports of some plants operating at reduced rates to begin the week. Terminals are called steady to weaker with top prices from $48 to $51. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $51. And the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Friday, August 10th, negotiated swine purchases were 16,631. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $61.25 to $76, a weighted average $71.52, a gain of 29 cents from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $47.35 to $59.50, and the weighted average was $54.48. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $13,258. The base price range was $60.75 to $77.50. The weighted average was $71, a loss of $1.59 from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $46.07 to $56.27, and the weighted average was $53.25. Joining us now in the studio with a look at today's agricultural weather is meteorologist Scott Althoff. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you very much. We have a couple of things to keep our eyes on in the next coming week. The first thing is the tropical Atlantic beginning to heat up. We have a very strong tropical wave coming that came off Africa over the weekend, and a lot of the computer models are forecasting to develop into a tropical cycle in the next couple of days and possibly affect the Lesser Antilles probably Wednesday, Thursday time frame, and then eventually maybe approach the U.S. coast in about a week to 10 days from now. And if that happens, that's going to slow the weather down across the middle latitudes here across the Midwest and throw some definitely uncertainty to the long-range forecast. So if that does occur, take the long-range forecast even more with a grain of salt than we usually do, especially next week. Now, showers and thunderstorms occurred across northern and western portions of the Midwest Friday through early this morning, raising soil moisture in some areas that have been dry for an extended period of time. Rainfall from 3/4 inch to up to 2 inches occurred in east central through southeastern Minnesota and far southwestern Wisconsin. Another region of strong thunderstorms occurred from central Nebraska through southwestern Iowa to north central Missouri. A rainfall ranged from 1 to 2 inches. Rainfall of a few hundredths of an inch to 7/10 occurred elsewhere across the regions from the Dakotas to Michigan and a few central Nebraska locations. Total coverage through earlier today was about 50% in the Corn Belt, with mostly dry conditions occurring in areas not mentioned. Highest temperatures Friday and Saturday were 90s to 105 degrees in the south half of the Midwest, while readings in the north were in the middle 80s to lower 90s. Coolest morning lows were in the 50s and 60s northwest and the upper 60s and 70s elsewhere. Today's forecast is wetter and cooler than that of Friday. A slight reduction in the coverage of this week's midweek storm system was made, but it mostly remains unchanged from that of Friday. Much greater rainfall is now advertised for the Friday through Sunday period in the western Corn Belt and from Saturday through Monday in the eastern Corn Belt, as kind of we'll have a stationary frontal boundary set up across the eastern Corn Belt during that time if that occurs. Like I mentioned earlier, next week weather is up for deep debate due to an unexpected tropical cyclone that should eventually pose a threat to some part of North America. The latest model targets Texas with landfall sometime during midweek, but it's way too early to even guess on that. Temperatures through midweek this week will be very warm to hot in southern portion of the Midwest from Kansas to the lower Ohio River Valley, where highs in the 90s and low 100s will continue. Highs further north will slowly cool from the 80s today to the 70s later in the week. Temperatures next week will rebound back to normal next week with highs mostly in the 80s to lower 90s, and some hotter regions may develop in the plains and western Corn Belt if the tropical storm cyclone decides to turn northward and approaches the Texas coast. But that's a lot of if between now and then. U.S. Delta Southeast, crop stress was high over the weekend. Hot temperatures and mostly dry conditions occurred from the Delta through northern Georgia and most of the western areas of the Carolinas and Virginia. Showers brought 35% coverage to the remaining southeastern states, where up to 8/10 of an inch was common, with a few amounts of 1 inch to 3 inches in southeastern Georgia and eastern North Carolina. Most of the rainfall fell from northern Florida through the eastern Carolinas and eastern Virginia. Highest temperatures of the weekend range from 100 to 106 degrees, with temperatures high as 108 in southern North Carolina. Southern Virginia, northern Florida, and southern Georgia and portion of North Carolina had highs in the upper 90s. Low temperatures were in the 60s and 70s. Severe crop stress will continue from the northern Delta through northern Georgia and western areas of the Carolinas and Virginia through at least next week to 10 days. Late season crop yields are likely declining in these areas. The southern Delta is not expected to receive significant rain during the next period, and crop stress will begin as subsoil moisture is further depleted. Yield reductions in the lower Delta will also be possible once crop stress reaches critical proportions. Light showers will be limited relief to portions of the southeast this weekend, and the Carolinas expected to receive a majority of the shower activity. Weather conditions beyond the August 22nd time period will be very dependent on the potential track of a predicted tropical cyclone as it moves across the Atlantic Ocean. That's your growing areas weather. I'm meteorologist Scott Olthoff.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City September wheat opened at 657, up 2.5. Last trade up 7. December, 669.25, up 0.25. Last trade up 5. September wheat of the Board of Trade opened at 673, up 6. Last trade up 6.5. December, 689.25, up 4.75. Last trade up 7.25. March, 681, up 3. Last trade up 9. September corn opened at 336.5, up 3.5. Last trade up 4.25. December, 355.5, up 5. Last trade up 3.75. March, 367.25, up 1.5. Last trade up 5.75. August soybeans opened at 859.25, up 9.25. Last trade up 11. November, 880.75, up 9. Last trade up 11.25. January, 898, up 11.5. Last trade up 11.75. July, 916.5, up 2.5. Last trade up 18. September soybean meal opened at 235.80, up 150. Last trade up 320. September soybean oil opened at 36.80, up 26. Last trade up 26. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of FC Stone and Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
Looks like at least to start the session, we're going to be higher today.
Well, I think we're going to be higher to start off with. I'm just not sure we're going to be able to gain the kind of momentum that we had last night early on. I'm leaning more towards a 1-2, 2-3 better type corn market and probably a 5-7 better bean market as we get started here today. Most of that is driven off the weather forecast, because it's certainly the models going away on Friday. We're not indicating the rain that moved through the Missouri, southern Iowa, on into southern Illinois and extreme southern Indiana, but the forecast is there's more rain coming yet this week, where most of the Midwest ends up with a pretty good rain event, at least based on our forecaster that we're hearing this morning. So if that becomes fairly prevalent among the traders out here, I think you could see them step back just a little bit. All told, though, it's pretty hard to get terribly bearish after the reports that we got on Friday. Even the corn number, you left the carryout pretty much unchanged for this next year, as we see the demand jump up a little bit. And I think that there's a possibility that demand could actually even be higher than what the USDA had it on corn, if the Europeans would, for some reason, decide that they're willing to take some non-GMO or some GMO-type product, it could change things significantly. I think it's going to be a real test to their people and all the GMO issues that we've had with the European market.
Are you suspecting that the corn crop in the September report will be smaller?
I would say that I'm probably looking for it to be a little bit smaller. This was primarily a population and ear count, and they found record ear counts, record stock counts, so they're bound to have a big number. And in September, we'll start weighing those ears. And, you know, I think Illinois, Nebraska, Iowa are going to have good crops, but I have some question marks for Indiana being unchanged with last year. I guess that's a little concerning to me. So there's some areas where I think we could see this pull back just a little bit and be a touch smaller than what they were looking for in that report, Dave.
Turn your attention to the wheat. Egyptians took Russian wheat over the weekend on low freight rates again. Now we need to see some demand, I would think, come up in order to challenge these wheat highs.
I tend to agree with that, but I also think that overall, you're still going to have limited amounts you can buy. This is twice in a row they've pulled the Russian wheat. And I think that's got to be a little concerning that we're missing that demand, but there's only so much you can get out of Russia. The freight rates probably aren't going to change because China's got this insatiable aptitude for trying to take as much of these natural products as they can get, primarily iron ore. They're taking a lot of iron ore, and it's keeping ocean freight rates high, and that's kind of shutting us out of some of these demand sides. And I think ultimately that there's going to be a few places you can go for the wheat. I think you got to watch what happens in Argentina where it's dry on the wheat. We got to watch what happens down in Australia because their wheat doesn't come available till late December, January before we start seeing that wheat. And if we start seeing those crops turn south, it'll change the whole outlook on wheat again.
Thank you much, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
Brian Maple of FC Stone. You're listening to WILO Urbana.